Well, hey, it's great to have you here with us this morning, and we're in the throes of it, right? Right in the middle of the Christmas season. How many of you, out of curiosity, are like, man, just having the best Christmas ever, really enjoying it? Let me see your hands. You're like, man, I'm loving where we are right now. Yeah, awesome. How many of you are like, man, so-so, I'm not fully in the spirit, but we're making it, if you're really honest? Yeah, a lot more of us. How many of us are like, man, I am ready for January. I'm ready to be done already. Yeah, a few of you are there really honest this morning. Well, man, we're glad you're here this morning because we're in this series called Oh, What Fun, and that's somewhat sarcastic. It's in a song that we sing, but you know, we have these expectations of the Christmas season, and oftentimes our experience does not match the expectations, and so the crazy thing is the first Christmas was the same way, and Jesus came and emerged and brought us exactly what we needed amidst what we hoped for and what we were experiencing. So really glad you're here this morning for week two. My name's Kurt. If we not had a chance to meet. And I tell you what, my week got better. My season got better this week. I was watching one of my favorite Christmas classics this week. Our whole family was home one night and we were decorating the Christmas tree. And as we were watching, my kids came out and said, hey, we have a gift for you. I'm like, what do you mean you have a gift for me? They're like, yeah, the first gift of Christmas is coming to you. You better sit down. So I sat down and they gave me, like, my Christmas could, I'm just satisfied after this moment. This is what I received. And I just stood there in amazement and watched my favorite movie with my brand new jersey. How cool is that? Yeah, that was like, oh man, that was just, that made my Christmas right there. And then it got better. So my daughter was in Jingle All the Way, great, great music program across the street at HSC High School all weekend long. Yeah, we had a dozen plus kids in there. It's fantastic. My Christmas season starts over there every year. It's awesome. And so my brother says, hey, if you'll wear yours, I'll wear mine. I'm like, you're on. So here we were Friday night at Jingle All the Way. It was the best. It was the absolute best and a fantastic show on top of that. So our season's going pretty good so far. Now, you know, we're in December, and you know what that means, right? That means that all these year-in-review lists, the best of the year, things are going to start coming out. Anybody dig those? Anybody really enjoy, like, checking those out? Okay, two people. Awesome. All right, well, I kind of get enamored with this. I enjoy seeing what the top, you know, movie and song and all that was. So, in fact, just this week, Rotten Tomatoes dropped their list, best movie of the year. Any ideas what it is? Any? Wonderland? Anybody think it's Wonderland? Anybody see Wonderland? Not Wonderland. Yeah, it is the Avengers. All right, Avengers Endgame, top movie of the year according to Rotten Tomatoes. Now, best song of the year, you know, and God help us if it's Taylor Swift again, right? I mean, can we just move on? So Apple Music actually, this year for the first time, they kind of gave out music awards. You know what they called the top song of the year? Anybody? I think I heard it. It's Not Much Better. Little Nas X and Old Town Road with Billy Ray Cyrus. Can you believe it? That's where our world is right now. All right. Well, so here's a fascinating one. Instagram, they posted their top post of 2019. You will never guess what this is. This totally blew me away. All right. They're right in the front row. These students know it. It was the world's biggest egg. World record egg, 28 million plus views in 10 days back in January. It totally knocked Kylie Jenner's baby announcement off the top platform. All right, she's goner because of the world's biggest egg. Yeah, crazy. Now, unfortunately, Barbara Walters, you know, she used to do like the 10 most fascinating people, which was always really interesting. She stopped doing it back in 2015. I guess she ran out of fascinating people. There's no more left. So it leaves it to us to kind of come up with our own, right? So here's who I'm nominating. Dr. Mark Johnson, most fascinating. Yeah, you guys agree. Awesome. You know, so there's all kinds of lists that come out this time of year. I want to zero in on one particular one that comes out every year. I don't think it's been dropped. Maybe it has. I think it actually has. Forbes, you know, most powerful people of the year. And this is interesting. The list doesn't usually surprise us. I mean, it's people like, who do we have on here? We have the Pope, usually. We have Donald Trump. We have Mark Zuckerberg. We have other, you know, world leaders. You know, I don't know about you. I don't mind not showing up on that list. I mean, I never really look to see if I'm going to be on there. I think most of us, we don't lose sleep over not being on this list, right? I mean, these people are all like powerful over empires, right? Over like massive empires in some way, shape, or form. I don't know about you. I'm just looking for the power to get through a long day. I'm just looking for the power to get through like a difficult moment in a relationship, or maybe you're even looking for the power to get through this season, as we see in this great scene from Elf. Take a look.
Are you enjoying the view?
You
You are very good at decorating that tree.
Why are you messing with me? Did Krampa put you up to this?
I'm not messing with you. It's just nice to meet another human who shares my affinity for elf culture.
I'm just trying to get through the holiday.
Get through? Christmas is the greatest day in the whole wide world!
Please stop talking to me.
Uh-oh. Sounds like someone needs to sing a Christmas carol.
Go away.
Best way to spread Christmas cheer is singing loud for all to hear.
Thanks, but I don't sing.
Well, it's easy. It's just like talking, except louder and longer, and you move your voice up and down.
I can sing, but I just choose not to sing, especially in front of other people.
Well, if you sing alone, you can sing in front of other people. There's no difference.
Actually, there's a big difference.
No, there isn't. Wait. I'm singing! I'm in a store, and I'm singing! I'm in a store, and I'm singing!
Hey! There's no singing in the North Pole.
Yes, there is!
No, it's not.
Oh, man. Does that ever get old? Does it get old for you? Because it doesn't for me. I mean, I could watch that on repeat. But let's be honest. There's some of us, we're like Jovi. I mean, we're just trying to get through. We're just trying to get through the season. And, you know, we're looking for power to get through Christmas. We're looking for power to get through maybe a tough diagnosis this time of year. Maybe the power to get through a difficult financial season. We're not looking for the kind of power to rule empires and such. We're just trying to survive. We're trying to make it. And what kind of list can help with that? Well, about 700 years after Jesus, or before Jesus emerged on the scene, there's a prophet by the name of Isaiah, and he began to describe, he listed out a list. He kind of made his list of what this coming Messiah was going to bring. In fact, here's what he said to us. He said, "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders." And he says, this is what you're going to be able to call him. He will be called the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. And so throughout this series, each of these 4 weeks, we're just taking a look at one of these character traits, one of these items that Isaiah says, hey, here's what you've got coming your way. And so today, we're going to take a look at this phrase, mighty God. What does it mean that we have a mighty God in who Jesus is? Well, and what does that phrase even mean? Well, in the Hebrew language, the phrase is El Gabor. El Gabor. Go ahead and say that out loud with me. El Gabor. Now say it like a pirate. El Gabor. Yeah, I got the voice for it today, by the way. And so that you guys did well on that, El Gabor. So El Gabor actually means God is a mighty warrior. It infers this idea of military strength, military power. And so it's way more than just like this physical strength. This like speaks into the identity of who Jesus is. In fact, Jesus is saying, hey, I am God. In fact, a bunch of his countrymen, Jewish countrymen, get all upset when he says one day, hey, I and the Father are one. And they're like, what are you talking about? That's blasphemous. He says, no, we're one. We're like, I'm one with him. Jesus even accepted worship at one point. He kind of commended Thomas, who gave him worship. Thomas said, my Lord and my God, and he kind of bows down to worship him. And Jesus says, you know, Thomas, blessed are you. He lifts up Thomas for recognizing this. Jesus even claimed to do things that only God could do when he said, who can forgive sins but God alone? And so Jesus, he begins to lay the framework that he and God are one. It's this phrase, El Gabor. But it's way more than just a posture of power or a conquering posture. It's an identity character trait. It's who he is. And see, this is critically important because there's a lot of confusion around the divinity of Jesus. A lot of confusion around, you know, is Jesus divine? Is he human? I mean, is he fully God and man? I mean, what does that all mean? I meet a lot of people who are like, you know, I'm totally cool with Jesus as, you know, like a good friend, somebody who comes along. He's like my buddy. Have you ever seen the buddy Jesus? He's like, Jesus is my buddy, or he's a good teacher. He's a good moral hang. I mean, somebody good to hang out with. And who doesn't like a friend that turns water into wine? That's always a great friend to have around, right? And so we like to see Jesus as a good person to hang with. He's a good teacher. He's somebody who we can emulate our lives after, but we don't always recognize him as a savior who brings power. In his brilliant work, C.S. Lewis, in the book Mere Christianity, he gives us a caution on this, of just speaking to the teacher side of who Jesus is and forgetting the power and the savior side. He says this, I'm trying here to prevent anyone saying the really foolish thing that people often say about him. I'm ready to accept that Jesus is a great moral teacher, but I don't accept his claim to be God. This is the one thing we must not say. A man who was merely a man and said the sort of things Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on a level with a man who says he's, for instance, a poached egg. I don't know where that came from, but that'd be a lot of fun. Or else he would be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool, and you can spit at him and kill him as a demon, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come with any patronizing nonsense about his being a great human teacher. He has not left that open to us. He did not intend to. And so personally, I just think it's really important that we kind of come to grips with what we believe to be true about the person of Jesus. This is massively significant. I mean, that baby that we read about and celebrate lying in a manger, it wasn't some cute little newborn. I mean, this baby that's coming and eventually going to grow into an adult man. I mean, he wasn't just some good moral teacher. This was Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Like God has actually came to this side of the plane, this side of reality, to dwell and live among us. And why wouldn't God do that if he really wanted us to understand who he was? Why would he not come to this side of the equation? So today, we're going to take a look at what it means for Jesus to be a mighty God and what that means for our lives. Because, you know, let's be honest, when we think about power, the last thing you think about is a baby, right? I mean, you don't think of a baby as somebody that has might, except when you change a diaper of a baby. You're like, man, that's pretty powerful. That's pretty potent. But outside of a diaper, we typically, power is just not the first word that comes to mind when we think of babies. I mean, who doesn't like a nice, cutely wrapped little baby looking like an angel, right? I mean, everybody loves a baby. In fact, let's play name the Cross Point leader this morning. You guys want to do that with me? Who do you think this Cross Point leader is right here? Any idea who this might be? You've seen them this morning already. Any ideas? All right, yeah. So maybe if we get into their mind and you could hear a little bit about what's going on in his head, you would understand. Let's see what this baby's thinking about. Fa-la-la-la-la. Who is it now? Ashley, yeah, it's Ashley Bodorf, our worship leader this morning. Now, here's another one. Here's another Cross Point leader. This looks a little feisty right here, right? Any idea who this baby is? Okay, yeah, I think I heard it. This one would be saying, hey, I'm Canadian. I don't like snow and cold, but I'm Canadian. This is Pastor of Multiplication and Growth, Chris Maloney. And wasn't Chris fantastic last weekend kicking this series off? Man, loved last weekend, even though I wasn't here. Listened on the podcast. Hey, how about this one right here? Check out, man, these are some cool threads right here, right? Like the polo shirt straight out of the 70s with the cool, you know, plastic zipper and the key ring at the top. That is timeless right there, I might say. Any idea who this is right here? I like the best variety of the 80s, 90s, and today. Yes, our own service host, Eric Allen, otherwise known as Eric Butchtenkirk. Yeah, you guys want one more? All right, let's look at this one. My word, who is that handsome guy right there? Oh, my word. Well, maybe if we knew what he was thinking, you might know. I am an equal opportunity offender. I don't know how my parents didn't see that I was flipping off the world in this baby photo. I guess it all started back before I was one, right? So, yeah. Anyway, you know, when we think of babies, we don't think of might and power. Everybody loves a baby, but I mean, you know, we just don't think of might and power, right? You know, when Julie and I, we loved having babies in our home, you know, as we were having kids, and we're out of those years. I mean, our youngest is 10 now. And I don't know, you know, the one thing I discovered is they don't do anything. I mean, we're all excited about them, but they just sit there. I mean, they don't help. They don't mow the lawn. I mean, I thought that's why you had kids. But, you know, it's not until they're like 15 they start doing that stuff. But, you know, there's something about a baby. And that first Christmas, I'll never forget our first Christmas with our daughter, Macy. We were so excited as parents. And I don't know why we romanticize it so much. I mean, you think it's going to be awesome, right? I mean, she's going to be enamored with the decorating. I remember putting her little bumbly. Is it a bumbly? Is that what the little form seat was? We'd stick her in that. And we started decorating the tree. And we're like, she's going to be amazed and wonder. She just cried the whole time. I mean, she had nothing to do with it. You know, it wasn't romantic at all. And then, of course, the first Christmas, you know, we probably overbought, I'm sure. I mean, first child in our home. And we were so excited about all these things. You know what she wanted to play with? The bag. That's all she wanted. The 99-cent, you know, Dollar Tree bag. That's all she was interested in. You know, and so babies, I mean, they aren't powerful. They're not helpful. They depend on us for everything. And yet Jesus, he emerges into this world and he's called a mighty God. And his power is revealed before he could even sit up on his own. I mean, a star rises in the east and the galaxies totally reform around it. And these shepherds are in a field. They see the star and they run toward the star to just get a glimpse at the face of this little baby. And these Zoroastrian, very educated men, these wise men, they put their entire lives aside and they travel hundreds of miles in search of this one single baby. Even King Herod is intimidated by this baby and calls for his life. And then, of course, Jesus grows and his power and influence grows, and we see his very first miracle. We see a lot of his power through miracles. His very first one was turning water into wine. I mean, he cures the incurable diseases. He raises people from the dead. I mean, this baby is Emmanuel. God is right here in our midst. And yet, maybe the ultimate revelation of Jesus' power. And this is so important. And if you kind of zoned out or you're doing your shopping list or something for later, just zoom back in for a moment. Maybe the most important example of Jesus' power is when he died, but he didn't stay there. And that power rose his lifeless body back to life. And that power is available to you and me today. That power that brought Jesus from a lifeless form when he'd been you know, killed on the cross, and he breathed his last breath, and they laid him in a tomb for 3 days. That power that brought him back and breathed breath and life back into him, that same power is available to you and me today. And it's not like available down the road sometime. It's not like if I do enough Hail Marys, I'll get it. It's not like if I get enough jail out of free out of jail. I mean, it's like, no, it's available right here, right now. That same power is available to us. In fact, the Apostle Paul talks about it in Ephesians chapter 1. And I love the Apostle Paul. I have to stop and explain Paul whenever we read him, because if you're kind of somebody who's on the outer fringe of spirituality, you know, if you're somebody who's kind of like, yeah, I've never really been on the inside circle of spirituality, you're going to like the Apostle Paul, because that's where Paul lived. Paul, you know, sometimes you walk into a church, you're like, oh man, all these people are on the inside of like Jesus and God, and they've been doing this for a long time. Well, Crosspoint's a cool place because it's for people who don't have it all together. It's for people, place for people who kind of feel like they want to re-engage with, you know, understanding who Jesus is, regardless of what your history is. Paul is a person who was on the fringes spiritually. I mean, he actually kind of despised Jesus. He hated Christians. He was arresting Christians. He wanted nothing to do with them, and he never really understood what was going on with them. And so until he experienced and saw that this Jesus really is who he says he is, and he had this about-face moment where he then begins to investigate this Jesus, and he understands and begins to champion him. And not only does he champion him, but he partners with him, begins planting churches all around the Mediterranean rim because he's so overtaken by what he discovered about who Jesus is. So if that's kind of where you are, I mean, you got to read Paul, because Paul speaks to those of us who are kind of on the fringes. So here's what Paul says in Ephesians 1. He says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. In other words, he's saying there is stuff going on that your physical eyes will not be able to see. All right, there's things that you're just not going to be able to see physically, at least. So may your heart open up to this reality that there's a different realm of stuff going on, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for those of us who believe. And then check out this next line. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead. Look at that for a moment. That power is the same mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead. I mean, do you get the gravity of that this morning? I mean, he's saying this is the power we have access to. It's not a little bit of power, and it's not like a Forbes list kind of power. It's a different kind of power. It's the same incomparable power that breathed life and breath and meaning back into the very person of Jesus right before he walked out of the grave. And Paul says, when our eyes are open to this, when our hearts are enlightened to this reality, he says, then we'll have hope. Well, why do we have hope? Because, see, one of the things that this power brings us is it gives us the power to press on. It gives us the power for, like, real life, you know, challenges. I don't know about you, but there's seasons. Right now might be one of them for you where I just need to get through. I mean, I really try to maximize nearly every season I'm in, but there's times where, man, I just got to get through. And you may be in one right now. You might be thinking, Kurt, I barely got here this morning. I mean, it's just good for me to be at Crosspoint this morning. You know, you might be thinking, I'm burning the candle at both ends. I just can't keep going on. Or I'm just, you know, hanging on by a thread. You know, and maybe even deal with depression and things that just make life increasingly difficult. Know that there's a power that Jesus brings. In fact, one of my good friends, Hondel Smith, I saw this on his Instagram account this week. I thought it was really kind of cool. He said, if you arrange the letters in depression, you get I press on, which means your current situation is not your final destination. Depression is a very real thing. If you've lived with that, you know that. But even in the midst of that, Jesus brings a power for us to press on. He says there's a power that comes, that same power that raised Jesus from the dead is available to you and me today, regardless of what you're going through. Man, there is strength that can overcome that. In fact, we can echo Paul's prayer later as he writes these early Christians in the city known as Colossae, where he's planting churches. Paul prays this prayer. He says, I pray that you'd be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might so that you may have great endurance and patience. He says, I pray that you might be strengthened. I'm going to give you the power to press on. Now, there's two really important words right here in this phrase, and they're not the ones that you think they would be. It's according to. This phrase, according to, in the original Greek, it's kind of this word picture of something flowing down a stream. All right, it's this idea of according to the current of the river. All right, that's what this means. And so I want you to kind of get that word picture of a river flowing downstream in your mind for just a moment. How many of us have ever swam in a river before? Yeah, a number of you. Awesome. I grew up in Michigan. We lived on the Manistee and Ausable rivers in the summer, you know, fishing, tubing down the river, swimming. And there's something that happens if you've never swum in a river. As you go down the river, not only does the current carry you, but you can swim too. And before you know it, you're further and you're going faster than you could have gone on your own. That's what Paul's talking about right here. He's saying according to the current, when you step into that current, you go according to the current of the river and it gives you more energy, more power. Now, it's similar to whitewater rafting. Anybody ever, you know, done like class 3-4 whitewater rafting? Out of curiosity, a few of you, awesome. When Julie and I did this a number of years ago, one of the first things they do in your orientation, they say, hey, you know, not really if, but when you fall out of the boat, which is why some of you are like, yeah, that's why I don't go, right? Because it's not an if thing. It's like when you fall out at some point over this trip, don't swim back to the boat. All right, don't try to come back upstream to the boat. Float on down the river and hook up with another raft or go to the side and we'll come by and get you. But they're basically saying, hey, don't swim upstream back to the raft. It's not going to go well for you. And you just got to trust them, right? It never goes well. Well, I was thinking about this week. I thought, man, there are multiple seasons in my life as I look back. And now that I'm out of them, I can see them where I was really trying to swim upstream. I was trying to go against the current. And it, for multiple reasons and different motives. But as I was thinking about this, I can see very specific times where it's almost like God was trying to do something in my life. And yet I'm like, no, I'm doing it my way. I'm swimming upstream and I'm doing it this way instead of allowing myself to be caught up in his current. Theologian N.T. Wright, he actually says something really cool about this. He says, and so it is when our weakness swims in the stream of God's almighty power. Think about that phrase for a moment. When in our weak moments, where we just don't feel like we can go on, we get caught up in the stream of God's almighty power. Our God is the God who gives power to the faint. And I don't know if you could use that kind of power this morning. About 12 years ago, when Crosspoint first began, I experienced one of the most difficult seasons in my life. I mean, it was an extraordinary kind of bookend experience, some of the greatest moments in my professional life. But if I'm honest, it was one of the more difficult seasons as well, probably the most difficult season. I'm not going to get into all the nitty-gritty details, but you know, if you've ever done a startup, I mean, you know, it's hard work. If you start a business or anything of the likes, a church, it's hard work. I mean, it's you. It's all hands on deck. You got to form a team. You got to get people around you. But I mean, it rises and falls on you initially. And so Julie and I, we committed to launch Crosspoint. We had our third child. She is 3 weeks older than Crosspoint. So like we had her 3 weeks before our first preview service. So we're having a baby and getting ready to launch a church. We moved 3 weeks before that. So we're getting into a new home, trying to move, paint the house. Julie couldn't be a part of that. Julie's working part-time, full-time engaged at Crosspoint and helping make this thing go. Of course, I'm full-time engaged. In the midst of that, I mean, we were the epitome of burning the candle at both ends. How many of you are in a Crosspoint Kids t-shirt this morning? I see a few of them. I see one right here, my buddy John. You know, we've had those t-shirts since the beginning, since day one. And we used to screen print them. It was pretty much my brother, his wife, Julie, and I. Sometimes it was 2:30 in the morning on a Sunday morning, and we're over screen print. We're like, oh man, we got 3 new volunteers tomorrow. We need 2 new t-shirts. And so, you know, it'd be good for us to get 3-4 hours of sleep often on Saturday nights going into a Sunday morning. And so it was just difficult. And finally, we caught momentum. It'd be 6-7 months in. We finally got a momentum going. And about that time, it was just like a whole bunch of things started falling apart in a different realm, mainly people realm, you know, and it like some people things just fell apart. And my coach told me this was going to happen. I mean, they tell you when you're kind of preparing for this, hey, people are going to disappoint you and there's going to be things happen and people are going to let you down or, you know, this just isn't going to be their cup of tea and all kinds of things, but you just don't believe it. But I just remember as that began to happen thinking, man, I don't know if I can weather this thing. I mean, I just remember thinking, I don't want to be another pastor fatality. I don't want to be another pastor that quit ministry to go start another coffee shop. We don't need another one of those. All right. So, you know, I just remember, you know, kind of like crying out to God and even some of my close friends, man, I don't know that I'm going to make it. And I couldn't fully see it at that moment. But I can look back now. I mean, it's easier to see in hindsight. But I can see now with confidence, I mean, what God was doing in that moment. He was doing something in that season. And it was chaotic, and it felt upside down. I'd never experienced it before. It was new territory. But I tell you what, it gives me a confidence as I continue to go forward to know that, man, God, he did something there. And so the next time I'm there, I can remember, hey, God got me through here. He can do it the next time. I mean, Jesus continued to move me down the stream. I can look back and see God's power carrying me through certain moments. Now, I was swimming. I mean, I was swimming hard, but I was caught up in that current and truly experienced that current when I felt like I didn't have anything left. And I tell you what, there was so much more going on looking back in that moment that I would have ever dreamed or imagined that God was doing that I can only see now. Now, see, the crazy thing about God's power is it's not just for those of us who are in that season of difficulty. I mean, some of us are right there right now, and all of this is landing with you so far. Others of us, you know, you're not there. I mean, you might be sitting here going, man, my life's really in a good place this morning. I'm experiencing a really good season so far. Some of you said, yeah, I'm there. Let me tell you what you need to do. You need to just do a happy dance in your heart right now. That's what you need to do. All right, you need to celebrate. If life is good for you, man, you need to mark that moment, celebrate it, thank God for it, because it may not have been a month ago, and it may not be tomorrow, but if you can say, man, life is good right now, just take inventory and say, thank you, God, for this moment right here. Because it's not always that way. And the person next to you may not be there, but you can celebrate that you are. But the cool thing, the second thing about God's power is I think he wants to give us the power to partner with him. It's not just for times of difficulty, but it's for the good times as well. And if you're anything like me, you know, whenever God places a dream in your heart, or, you know, it's kind of like the next season is coming, or here's the next thing I want you to be a part of, or the next challenge in front of you, you know, my first reaction, mine always is, it's to feel inadequate. That's always how I feel when I feel like God's calling me to do something more. I have this innate ability, I call it a gift, to see all the challenges, all the holes and all the problems with what God is asking me to do. I think I'm gifted in that way. I have the ability to see all the ways this thing's going to fall apart and question my own ability. It's like my knee-jerk reaction is to say, I don't have the talent, I don't have the leadership, I don't have the experience to do this. God, I think you've called the wrong person. And whenever I say those things, that's usually an indicator to me, say, okay, God, I think this is where you may be working, because my first response is always resistance. Okay, God, what are you doing right here? How do you want to join me or me to join you in what you're doing? So I want to try to say this as plainly as possible, because I've seen this and experienced this over and over and over. And that is that if the power of God is within you, there is no challenge or obstacle that is greater than that. Let me say that again. If the power of God is in you, there's no challenge or no obstacle that can overcome that. There's no person that is greater than that. There is no thing that is greater than that. There's no situation that's greater than that. There's no relational outage that's greater than that. There's nothing that's greater than that power of God. And we have to be reminded that God is actually working with us, not against us. In fact, again, Paul reminds us of this in Ephesians 3. He says, now to him who is able to do, and check out these next two words right here. What do they say? Immeasurably more. You know how much that is? A lot. It's a lot. It says, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, more you can ever think up in your mind, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. You know what he's saying right there? He's saying this power has no brim or no bottom. You can try to measure it, and it cannot be measured. You can try to wrap your mind around it, and you're going to go, it's way more, it's too much. I mean, do we get a sense of that this morning? God's power is greater than anything you have going on in your life right now. And I don't know about you, but I want to live in a posture where I'm astonished at what God is doing. Can I tell you one more story before we close about how I've seen this recently? You guys mind? A week and a half ago, our family was vacationing. We were down in Florida for a week. We do this every year over Thanksgiving. And it's kind of a time where we refresh and kind of get our batteries charged up for the rush of the Christmas season. And so we have some friends we meet with every time when we're down there. Mike and Nona and Crystal and her daughter Madison, we met them there down at downtown Disney, had coffee with them. They used to attend Crosspoint. They were part of Crosspoint in like the first year. My wife used to work with them in the education field. And they were very pre-emergent in their faith, just kind of re-exploring Jesus. And then they kind of abruptly needed to move to Florida for a job opportunity. And so did that. And we were kind of bummed because like, oh man, we hope that the thing God started to do in them will continue, but we didn't know and we didn't really have any churches that we were aware of down in that area to point them toward. And so we just try to stay connected with them. In fact, you may have remembered Crystal's story if you've been around here for 3 or 4 years. Crystal's in the turquoise shirt there. She got leukemia a number of years ago and it was life-threatening. And she needed a bone marrow transplant. And so they looked and looked and looked and eventually after about 3 months, 4 months, found a donor. And so she got the bone marrow transplant, and it worked. It lasted. It took, and she began to kind of go up and to the right in her health trajectory. And she was super excited about meeting her donor, only to find out 4 months later that 4 months later he had died on the battlefield. He was in the Marines and was killed in battle. And so his family has become really close to her because they kind of believe that their son is living on through her life now since she carries his bone marrow. So just really some cool things have happened in their life. Her daughter, Madison, has some challenges emotionally and mentally, and so she requires 24/7 care. And so just a lot of difficult things. They would be in the like life isn't exactly where we expected it to be mode. And so this summer, I was down in Orlando with one of our leadership consultants that does all our leadership assessments, and he's also a part of a network that's planting churches in Orlando, and I mentioned our friends, Mike and Nona and Crystal, and he said, hey, what's their last name? And I said, it's Osha. He said, oh, they're in my small group. I've been discipling them. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. He's like, no, our church, we started a church right outside their neighborhood. They've been coming to our church for 3 or 4 years. They're now going to help us start other churches. So when I was with Mike, who's in the plaid shirt, just last week, he was so excited. He's like, yeah, our church has grown to like 150 people. We're getting ready to go to a hotel in the next community over and start a brand new church because we just want to see more people find their way to God like we did. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. I was amazed. It was one of those moments where they were literally in the throes of we just need to get through to now they're partnering with God in what he is doing. Blew me away. Blew me away. And we see these things, we hear these things, and if you're like me, sometimes you go, but where's that kind of power in my life? Like, where's that power? Why don't I see more of it on a day-to-day basis? Why don't we experience it more than we do? Well, perhaps it's because we're chasing the wrong kind of power. I mean, perhaps, you know, we're looking for it in the wrong places. Nobody imagined the Messiah to be born into a stable. Nobody imagined he'd be laid for his first bed into a cow's bowl. Nobody imagined that he would be getting down on his hands and feet to wash the feet of those on his team. Nobody imagined that he would be serving and feeding the homeless. Nobody imagined that he would one day die on a cross. I mean, they thought he'd come with military might. They thought he'd come riding some, you know, chariot, that he'd come and be a conquering king. He was the furthest from that. I mean, I've got to be honest. So many times I think we look for power in the wrong places, in the corner office, in our bank accounts, in our roles, our positions, in our, you know, fancy shoes, in our ability to try to control everything. I mean, is there power in those things? There certainly is. I mean, we can exert power and be in charge, but anything we can attain in this world is like a vapor. It's here today, and tomorrow it may be taken away from us. But in the midst of this Christmas, I want us to see that regardless of what your Christmas is, whether it's the Christmas you want or it's drastically different, I want you to know there's a God who brings a power and brings us exactly what we need. And so let me ask you the question, where do you need that power this Christmas? I mean, where do you need that today? What's going on in your life right now where you just need God to show up in a mighty way? This is one of our next steps this morning. On the back of your connection cards, perhaps it's in a difficult relationship. Perhaps it's in a difficult job situation. You know, maybe you just received a diagnosis or you're in the midst of an addiction or maybe, man, you're just in a tough spot and you've just never experienced that before. Or perhaps you just need power to take a next step in your relationship with God. I mean, maybe you're here today because you've been gone for a while. You've been, you know, you grew up in church and you've been away and you're like, it's Christmas. Maybe I should, you know, kind of re-explore this whole deal. Or maybe you're here for the first time, you've never been in church, and you're like, man, people say there's something about this church thing. Jesus, I just need to investigate this a bit. And you listen and you think, man, Kurt, there's no way Jesus could be interested in me. I mean, I'm one of those religious fringe. I mean, Jesus would never really be able to do anything powerful in my life. Paul says, no, he can do immeasurably more than you could ever ask or imagine. The question is, are we willing to receive and be open to what he wants to do? Because it can happen today by receiving that, and God will begin to bring his grace and his power into our lives. And so I encourage you to make that your next step this week. It says, I will daily invite God's power into, and you fill in the blank this morning. Where is that this week? I just encourage you to start your day every day this week saying, okay, God, I need to see you show up right here today. And I hope you're amazed. I hope you have moments where you're just amazed at what God is doing beyond your expectation. In fact, I want to give us a moment to just make that our prayer this morning. If you want to just kind of close your eyes in the quietness of this moment, I just want you to say a silent prayer and kind of answer this question or finish this statement. Jesus, I need your power to... How would you finish that? Jesus, I need your power to... Go ahead and tell God what you need. Heavenly Father, I want to be surprised this Christmas with how you show up. You know, we, just like those in the first century, expected you to show up as a mighty conqueror on a chariot with white horses. I don't know what they had in mind, but God, it didn't happen that way. I pray that you would usher your power into our lives in ways that amaze us. Thank you for hearing our prayers that we just shared with you, that you're a God who we can communicate with, you hear us, and that we can hear you. And as we go into this week, God, I just ask that you will help us be very cognizant of your power that's available, the same power that raised Jesus' lifeless body from the deathbed and breathed life and spirit and joy and hope into his body. I pray that that same spirit would just wash over us right now. Father, I pray that you would remove the fear, the anxiety, and those dark places of our life and just bring light, that you would illuminate and bring hope. And Jesus, that you would bring the kind of peace and the kind of power and the kind of presence that we need right now.